Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Repentance isn't exactly everyone's favorite subject, is it? Sometimes we'd just rather die than admit that we're wrong. There's a story of an older man who was on his way home one evening with his wife after dinner. The old guy let his foot down a little bit too heavily on the gas pedal, and soon enough, a police officer was right behind him with lights flashing and sirens blaring. After they had stopped, the cop approached the window, which the man had already rolled down, and the old man rather gruffly says, "What's the problem, officer?" The cop politely said, "Sir, it seems that your foot was laying pretty heavily on the pedal." To which the old man replied, "I wasn't speeding." "Sir," the cop continued, "I had you clocked at 55 miles an hour in a 30 mile per hour zone." Ever more strident, the man brusquely replied, "I wasn't speeding." Getting nowhere with this guy, the officer looked over at the man's wife, who was sitting there very quietly with her hands folded, as if praying, and the officer pled with her, "Ma'am, you surely know your husband was speeding. Am I correct?" To which she replied, "Oh, no, don't get me involved in this. I never argue with him when he's drunk." Like that one? When accused of wrongdoing, many people have a hard time admitting that they're wrong, confessing it, and repenting it. The story of Jonah is a bit of a surprise when it comes to repenting. Jonah was a prophet of the Most High God, and one day God sent him on this mission to proclaim judgment against the Ninevites. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a very vicious and violent people. But instead of heading east toward Nineveh, Jonah begins a trip downward, away from Nineveh. He goes down to Joppa, a city on the coast of the Mediterranean. And then he goes down aboard a boat on its way to Spain, or Tarshish, as it says in the scripture. And when God sent a violent tempest, the sailors were pleading with their gods, trying to figure out what the cause of this great storm was all about. They even cast lots to determine who was responsible. And they were looking for Jonah, who had gone down to the bottom of the boat and had fallen asleep. The crew woke him up, and they began to interrogate him. And Jonah finally admitted that he was the problem, that he was a prophet of the Most High God of Israel, and that God had brought the storm upon them because he had disobeyed God. He instructed them to throw him overboard, and down he went again into the sea, only to be swallowed up by a great fish. And finally, there he went down into the depths of the fish's belly and stayed there for 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed, and the fish vomited him onto dry land. What a wonderful story after dinner. And so after that, God spoke to Jonah a second time and instructed him to tell the Ninevites about the impending disaster that was going to hit them in 40 days. The incredible thing is, here you have a prophet prophesying or proclaiming a terrible day of judgment, but he's a bit like the old crotchety guy that we met in the introduction. Jonah would love nothing more than to see Nineveh burn up and turn into ashes. But strangely enough, starting with a grassroots movement that swept over the entire land, the people believed God. They repented, from the greatest to the least of them. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth, which was material made from black goat's hair, you know, very uncomfortable to wear. And both of these, the fast and sackcloth, were outward signs of repentance. As I said, even the king removed his kingly robes to cover himself with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. They were serious about their repentance. And remarkably, they had only this one hope. Who knows, they said, God may turn and relent, and turn and relent from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Mind you, there was no promise at that point. They simply were leaning on God's mercy. And so we have this grumpy old prophet of God delivering a message of judgment. And amazingly, the people repent. It was not, however, the act of just putting on sackcloth and ashes itself that moved God to intervene, but the humility that such an action demonstrated. God's forgiveness in response to genuine repentance is celebrated by David's words, who said, "You, God, removed my sackcloth and clothe me with joy." And true to his divine attributes of mercy and compassion, God relented. So what's surprising is the prophet's reaction. You would think their repentance, their admission of guilt and genuine sorrow, their desire to turn from their evil ways would be a cause for rejoicing in Jonah's heart. But instead, he was angry. He finished his work of prophesying or predicting this event to the people of Nineveh. And then he went up east of the city and sat down and waited to see what would become of the city. God had more work to do, though, not with the inhabitants of Nineveh, but with Jonah. Jonah had built himself a little booth or a tent-like thing to watch in the simmering sun. And while he's waiting, God grew a bush overnight to provide some additional shelter from the heat of the day. But then he sent a worm that night to eat the leaf of that bush, hence destroying the comfort that Jonah might have received from the shade of the plant. Jonah wanted to die, and he explained to God just why. He says, "This is why I left for Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." I just want to die. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry at this plant?" He said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you let it make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Why should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" And the story ends there. The story of Nineveh is a testimony of God's great compassion for sinners. The Ninevites got it. Do we get it? Jonah apparently didn't get it. But the question still lingers for our contemplation. If God is so quick to relent from his anger and show mercy to those evil Ninevites, is not that same mercy available to Jonah? to Israel, to the church, to us. Even more so to us who have seen the long planned for redemption through the sacrifice of Jesus, who, unlike the Ninevites, have the promise of God that whoever repents and believes in the Son has eternal life. And shouldn't those promises to us and to all people give us Christians all the more reason to have humility and compassion for the Ninevites among us, to open our hearts to receive them, to accept them, to forgive them, and yes, even to love them as Christ loved the world? Tim Keller writes, "Jonah did not weep over the city, but Jesus, the true prophet, did. Here is a perfect heart, perfect in generous love, not excusing, not harshly condemning. He is the weeping God of Jonah 4 in human form. And Jesus did not merely weep for us. He died for us. Jonah went outside the city, hoping to witness its condemnation, but Jesus Christ went outside the city to die on a cross to accomplish its salvation." My friends, the judgments of God are very real, but even more is His nature to relent when we turn from our sins and seek His forgiveness. Knowing this makes our Lenten repentance something to be treasured. Our God relents. Our God forgives. Our God saves at His expense so that we might live. Glory be to God. Amen.